Seltzer Kings Podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
So I entered this venue called a Cracker Barrel and asked for a cup of tea. And the woman brought me some brown ice water with sugar and lemon in it. Is there no bottom to your colonial degeneracy?
The following podcast contains...
But swearing and using dirty words is not one of my vices. I don't use foul language, and I don't like to hear anyone else use it either.
Explicit language.
Hello and welcome to the podcast that asks a simple question. When you decided the optimum temperature for your cup of coffee was surface of the sun, what the hell were you thinking? I'm your host, Dave Bledsoe, and this is episode number 448, the outrageous, egregious, preposterous edition of the show, where we talk about the McDonald's coffee lawsuit that everyone thinks they know about, but don't. Stay tuned. What the Hell We Thinking podcast is brought to you by Cup of Damn Coffee. We want you to know, you can still just order a cup of damn coffee. Are you tired of stopping by some chain coffee or a local coffee place for a cup of damn coffee, only to find yourself barraged with offers of blends and flavors or a bizarre wall of bullshit that people claim is coffee? Then swing by Cup of Damn Coffee, where we offer coffee and a cup, three sizes, small, medium, and large. You want a choice? You can choose whether or not to put milk and sugar in your cup of damn coffee. No cream, because we're not made of money. Want some non-dairy? We got that powder. Cup of Damn Coffee. The name tells you exactly what you damn well get.
So, you know, my friend and I, we were going to the movies, and we stopped off and bought this cafe latte.
Mm-hmm. What is that, like Italian coffee?
Yeah, that's right.
Half milk, half coffee?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You take a sip?
Yes, I did.
Now, when you took a sip, did you notice it was hot? Were you able to sip it in your normal fashion?
No, I wasn't able to sip it in my normal fashion.
Mm-hmm. All right, all right. You take big sips?
Well, I think I take a normal sip.
Okay, you take normal sips. Nothing wrong with that. Then what happened?
Well, you know, they don't allow outside drinks in the movie theater, so I had to put it in my shirt and sneak it in.
Yeah, see, they like to sell their own coffee.
Yeah. Now, is that going to be a problem?
Yeah, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem for them. This is a clear violation of your rights as a consumer. It's an infringement on your constitutional rights. It's outrageous, egregious, preposterous.
It's definitely preposterous.
So, Ben, what happened?
Well, I was trying to get to my seat, and I had to step over someone, and I kind of got pushed, and it spilt on me.
Was there a top on it?
Yeah.
Did you put the top on, or did they put the top on for you?
They put the top on.
And they made the top. You didn't make the top, did you? Susan, I want you to go down to Java World. Get me a cafe latte with a top. We're going to run some tests on that top.
Wow.
Have you been to the doctor?
No, I haven't.
Susie, call Dr. Bison. Set up an appointment for Mr. Kramer here. Tell him it's for me.
So, what do you think, Mr. Charles?
Jackie.
Jackie, I mean, we got a chance?
Do we have a chance? You get me one coffee drinker on that jury, you gonna walk out of there a rich man.
When I was in the military...
There goes again.
I had this sergeant, and he believed in coffee the way other men believe in Jesus. He carried a cup around with him like my dad carries a Bible. Mac, we called him Mac because his name was McCune. Mac made his own coffee, and his recipe was,
different.
Every Monday morning, Mac would come into work and make a fresh pot of coffee in one of those big 40-cup percolator coffee urns, the big silver ones. He would fill that urn up with water, open up a one-pound can of GI coffee because Mac strongly believed coffee was an issue item and should never be purchased by anyone in the military. So he got his cans of coffee from a buddy that he knew that worked at the chow hall. Mac would pour that entire pound of coffee into that basket, turn the pot on, and then let it brew. That would be the last pot of coffee that Mac would make for the entire week. He left that coffee on, slowly congealing into some kind of thick black sludge like Jed Clampett would find when he was out shooting for some food.
Oil, that is.
Black Gold Texas Tea.
No milk or sugar ever touched Mac's coffee. And later in the week, and the thicker the coffee grew, the more Mac loved it. In his world, there was no such thing as
coffee too strong.
If he could stick a spoon in his mug and the spoon stood up on its own, Mac considered that the perfect cup of coffee. I respected the shit out of that man. He taught me everything I knew about being a dog handler, but I gotta be honest with you. His coffee was,
Cool. This coffee smells like shit.
And I want you to know I'm not some sort of fucking coffee snob. I grew up drinking black coffee. Maxwell Haas or Folgers, because in our house we believed
the best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
Mornings are brighter with mountain-grown Folgers because mountain-grown coffee has more enticing aroma than any other kind.
The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
And I'm not here to say that I think less of people who put milk and sugar in their coffee, because they are human beings and they possess free will and they can fuck up a perfectly good cup of coffee if that's what they want to do. Now, over the years, I've come to grudgingly accept the candification of coffee as the youths continue to add shit to their coffee to make it taste less like coffee and more like a milkshake.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard and they're like, it's better than yours, damn right, it's better than yours, I could teach you, but I have to charge. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard and they're like, it's better than yours, damn right, it's better than yours, I could teach you, but I have to charge.
But I can't say that I'm a huge fan of standing in line behind someone who's ordering some fucking ludicrous concoction that takes longer to get out than a stutterer trying to do the soliloquy from Hamlet. And I've even given ground, grudgingly, on the absurdity that is iced coffee.
What the fuck is this shit?
Even though we all know, that when coffee gets cold, you're supposed to throw that shit out and make a new pot of coffee. But hey, at least, no one ever got a skin graft from drinking iced coffee. Which brings me to this week's topic, that time in 1994 when McDonald's was sued for serving their coffee too hot. The case has become shorthand for silly court cases with Mathis payouts in the minds of Americans who know jack and shit about the actual case. And in case you were wondering, Jack?
Yes, left town.
So this week, let's talk about what really happened and who is the real villain in the story. I'm going to give you a tiny hint here. Y'all already know who that villain is. Before I get to the case itself, let's talk for a minute about McDonald's.
Or not do.
Okay, we could talk about a brief history of coffee.
I don't know which is worse.
Mess around with me and I will do both. I will turn this thing into a three-parter. All right, fine, fuck it. I'll talk about coffee. The beverage that we call coffee originates in Africa.
High-minded, trendy, woke bullshit.
But no, it literally first grew in Somalia, Ethiopia, and Yemen. Folks were drinking coffee in Mecca in the 15th century, and it had become a trade good in Europe by the 16th century. By the 17th century, people were sipping it on couches in coffee houses and complaining about their lives in a funny yet endearing way. By the latter part of the 18th century, the largest cultivator of coffee was in Central and South America. Accounting for the difficulties in travel at the time, the spread of coffee is nothing short of remarkable. Now, here in the good old U.S. of America, coffee came before there was a U.S. of America. The Dutch imported it into Amsterdam in the 1600s, but the remainder of the colonies stayed true to their mother country and drank the tea.
As it should be, that is right and proper.
Shut up, Gavin. Tea tastes like weak piss.
You would know.
However, in 1773, the Brits decided that they were going to teach us colonial upstarts a little lesson and slapped a tax on all the tea they shipped over here, and Americans were like,
Oh, shit. Hell no.
And that fucking tea, right in the harbor. And then they celebrated by drinking, well, not coffee, but liquor, because colonial Americans drank like fucking fish. But the next morning, all hungover, they discovered something. A hot mug of Joe is way better to recover from a hangover than some boiled leaves. And so began America's love affair with the Java.
I find that highly unlikely.
You know, you guys complain when I start telling you about these things and then complain when I trim them down for time. Just make up your minds. It wasn't until the mid-1800s that coffee, like modern Americans drink coffee, became a thing. because that's when people started roasting the beans. Jesus Christ, can you imagine what unroasted coffee tastes like? I mean, it's nothing more than...
Is this bean juice?
During the American Civil War, every man was given coffee as part of their food ration. Quoting now from Eater.com, quote, "While different regions around the world have had their own ways of making coffee palatable, mostly with spices and sugar for centuries, it wasn't until the mid-1800s that producers began roasting the beans, which made the coffee both an effective stimulant for the exhausted troops and a drink that actually tastes good, a quality largely missing from American coffee scene before that point in history," unquote. And CultureTrip.com expands on this, quote, "In 1864, Pittsburgh-born brothers John and Charles Arbuckle, no relation to that guy in Garfield, began selling pre-roasted coffee by the pound, getting rich by selling it to cowboys in the West. James Folger, who sold coffee to gold miners in California, also saw great success. Several other big-name coffee brands, including Maxwell House and Hills Brothers, quickly followed suit," unquote. As coffee consumption increased and we learned how to make it consistently taste good, Americans began to regard coffee as an essential, as a part of their lives and a part of our culture. Restaurants served coffee around the clock, and with the advent of fast food, coffee was as much a part of the menu as the sodas, shakes, and fries. Before long, Americans were pulling into the drive-thru and ordering a coffee, as we have been ever since. And now, I'll talk about McDonald's. In 1937, Richard and Maurice McDonald opened a burger stand in San Bernardino, California.
I thought we weren't going to do this.
I'm not going to do the full history of McDonald's. I'm just setting the stage. From the very beginning, you could order a cup of fresh hot Joe along with your burger and fries. It would cost you 10 cents. When Ray Kroc came along and stole McDonald's.
You don't seem to realize what business you're in. You're not in the burger business. You're in the real estate business.
He took the shitty coffee as well. A cup of coffee at McDonald's has always been a shitty cup of coffee. Cheap beans are brewed and left to sit on the burner for hours because no one in their right fucking mind goes to McDonald's for the coffee. You go for the burgers and fries, and if you like coffee, it's an afterthought. The only good thing about McDonald's coffee was the Coke spoons.
Beg pardon?
Oh, yeah, come on. Back in the 70s, Mickey D's had these long plastic stirring sticks for their coffee. They had the tiny little spoon on the end, and all it took about 0.7 seconds for the people in the 70s to realize this ubiquitous little plastic object was the perfect size for a single bump of
cocaine. Glorious cocaine.
Quoting now from Snopes, quote, "The practice of using these implements in such fashion became so widespread that, at least in some cities, that a dose of cocaine was dubbed a mixed spoon, because it came packaged with the tiny coffee stirrers from McDonald's. In 1992, an undercover detective of Columbus, Ohio, said McSpoons were commonly sold 10 to a bundle in that town and 12 to a bundle in Detroit," unquote. All of this caused McDonald's to switch to something a little less useful for folks to stir their shitty McDonald's coffee. In all honesty, the kind of people who made much of a much over McDonald's coffee, well, they were what I would term
those corpulent old white fucks.
Well, that's a little harsher than what I was looking for. I was just going to go with elderly, but okay. And this is why on Tuesday, February 27th, 1992, Stella Liebeck's grandson's Ford Probe.
I'm a proctologist, so I drive a brown probe.
Pulled into an Albuquerque, New Mexico McDonald's drive-thru. I'm just going to let Reader's Digest explain it. Quote, Stella Liebeck, a 79-year-old widow, was in the passenger seat of her grandson's brown Ford Probe, ordering a value meal at the drive-thru window of an Albuquerque, New Mexico McDonald's. Since there were no cup holders in the brown Ford Probe, and the interior surfaces were sloped, her grandson, Christopher Tiano, pulled into the parking lot after they got their order. I wanted to take the top off and put the cream and the sugar in, Liebeck told a local news station at the time. So I put the cup between my knees to steady it as I tried to get the top off. And after that, says Tiano, she just started screaming, unquote. I want to take a brief digression here to explain why Stella started screaming and tell you about the thermodynamics of a cup of coffee. A generic cup of Joe ought to be around 160 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, I could quote at length a very real study that I found from the National Institutes of Health that goes into the excruciating detail on the balance between the flavor profile and the scald risk mitigation.
Please, no.
But in the interest of time, I will just link it in the show notes. Even at this moderate temperature, 160 degrees Fahrenheit, a crotch spill into one's lap is not a pleasurable experience.
Please don't kink shame me.
Or maybe it is, if that's what you're into. Do you? One minute you're sipping your nice hot cup, and the next minute your cock and balls are bathed in fucking fire. And if you're in a public place, you can't just drop trow and start rubbing ice on your junk to alleviate the pain. I know. I got kicked out of Starbucks that way. This was while I was wearing a pair of jeans, which protected my most sensitive of sensitives from the dire effects of hot liquid soaking the highly responsive nerve endings associated with that portion of anatomy. Almost every beverage drinker has experienced this at least once in their lives. We all remember it quite vividly, and we also remember the giggling of someone, one of our friends usually, asking sarcastically if we had to
burn your balls off!
Fuck you, Todd. Yes, I did. Stop laughing and go get me an ointment. Stella Liebeck, a 79-year-old woman in 1992 out with her grandson, was almost certainly not protected by any sort of thick denim fibers. So I suspect, given the moderate climate in New Mexico, even in February, she was maybe wearing something like sweatpants, which is what the court documents told me. Meaning, there was no kind of protection from the coffee. Additionally, the hot coffee Stella was gamely trying to open and moderate with an application of cream and sugar was not the National Institute of Health approved average of 160 degrees. It was at least 20 degrees hotter than that, and probably 30 degrees hotter than that, meaning it was just shy of the boiling point of water. And it was this near boiling liquid that poured directly onto Stella's, how can I say this politely?
Hoo-ha!
I don't care if you're Steven fucking Seagal. If you pour basically boiling water on your junk, you're gonna scream because you just parboiled your junk. The American Tort Law Museum is rather more tasteful in their description. Quote, the coffee that burned Stella Liebeck was dangerously hot, hot enough to cause third-degree burns even through clothes and in 3 seconds. Liebeck endured third-degree burns over 16% of her body, including her inner thighs and genitals. The skin was burned away to the layers of muscle and fatty tissue. She had to be hospitalized for 8 days, and she required skin grafts and other treatment, and her recovery lasted 2 years, unquote. Now, Stella had been on this planet for 79 years. She had lived through the Great Depression, a World War, the Red Scare, the Cold War, the Nixon presidency, white people thinking they could disco dance, 8 years of Ronald Reagan, and fucking cop rock.
Tears and rain, precious memories of years go by. Eyes of darkness, fear and pain, all the time that we had. When all that's left is a photograph, not one gold above in the sun. Doing what had to be done, living under the gun.
To the best of my knowledge, this is the first cop rock joke that I have ever used in 9 years of this podcast, and I cannot believe it has taken me that long. Now, this was certainly not Stella's first coffee-related rodeo over her long life, and as she recuperated from the truly horrific wounds she had sustained, a thought ran through her head.
Coffee's a little hot.
Maybe too hot. And therefore, this whole thing was maybe a little bit McDonald's fault.
Hate that clown.
Going back to Reader's Digest, quote, when Liebeck's medical bills topped $10,000, God bless America, she contacted McDonald's and asked to be reimbursed. We couldn't believe that this much damage could happen over spilled coffee, Liebeck's daughter Judy Allen Rose said. We wrote a letter to McDonald's asking them to check the temperature of the coffee and give the recompense for the medical bills. We said, your machine must be too hot, so look at it and fix it. It's broken. And Liebeck's son-in-law, Charles Allen, said, it must be an aberration, but if that's your policy, we ask you to worry about your policy. McDonald's responded with an offer of $800, unquote. You know what $800 is? It's corporate speak for,
why don't you go fuck yourself?
So the Liebecks got a lawyer. Stella's lawyer went to the house that Croc stole and said, look, guys, come on. This is easy. Pay the medical bills. Pay for the clean of the upholstery for the Brown Ford Probe, Stella's dry cleaning, cover my lawyer's bills, and we can all walk away happy. Call it $20,000. That's like $42,000 in 2024 money. But it's a pittance in both times. In 1994, the year this case went to trial, because, oh, of course, it went to trial, the McDonald's Corporation was worth $8.3 billion dollars. Now, I'm not good at math, but it seems to me that if you are worth over $8 billion, you could fart and wipe your ass with 20 grand just to make sure that it wasn't a shark.
Thank you for the vivid imagery.
But hey, I'm forgetting the first rule of acquisition.
You worthless, tiny-eared fool. Don't you know the first rule of acquisition?
Yes, brother.
Then say it.
Once you have their money, you never give it back.
Exactly.
I mean, the Ferengi totally stole that from 20th century capitalists, so McDonald's did what corporations with large legal firms constantly on retainer for incidents just like this do. They decided the best way was to go to trial and bet that they could drain Liebeck's legal funds before the case could go to trial, which is how all corporations work. The rich fucks in general work. And they know that you will run out of money, a private citizen, long before their corporation will. More from Reader's Digest, quote, McDonald's had a reason for requiring its coffee to be served at that temperature, reported the Wall Street Journal. It tasted better. Coffee experts assured the company that hot temperatures are necessary to fully extract the flavor during brewing, unquote.
Bullshit! Bullshit!
First of all, Mickey D's coffee has never tasted good. And second of all, if the water is too fucking hot, it leaches all the flavor out of the cheap-ass beans they were using. Continuing with the legal rationale, quote, McDonald's reps suggested that the blame lay with Liebeck for holding the cup between her legs, and once she spilled her coffee, they said she should have removed her clothes immediately, unquote. Because sure, who doesn't want to get naked in a McDonald's parking lot?
You do it all the time.
True, but I'm a 55-year-old degenerate drunk. She was a 79-year-old widowed grandmother. On top of that, quote, her age may have played a part in the severity of her wounds because the skin of an older person is thinner and more susceptible to injury, unquote.
Great police work, really brilliant.
Imagine being in the jury and hearing that and saying, yeah, that's kind of the fucking point, you goddamn assholes. More from McDonald's legal reasoning. Quote, however, the trial revealed that Liebeck was not alone. McDonald's had received more than 700 complaints about burns from hot beverages over the previous 10-year period. The defense countered that the number of complaints was statistically insignificant given the billions of cups of coffee McDonald's sold annually. You know, like they say, you can't serve a cup of coffee without a couple of old ladies' choo-choos being boiled. Their point seemed to turn off the jurors. After 7 days of testimony and 4 hours of deliberation, the jurors sided with Liebeck. They awarded her $200,000 in compensatory damages, but because she caused the spill, they reduced that amount to just $160,000. The jurors then awarded her $2.7 million in punitive damages, which they reasoned was equivalent to about 2 days' worth of McDonald's coffee sales. The total was $2,735,000 more than the Liebeck's lawsuit had requested, unquote.
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You're cool. And fuck you, I'm out.
There was the inevitable appeal, and the case was finally to settle for an undisclosed but generally reported figure of around $500,000, of which, you know, the lawyers got the lion's share. Stella lived for about another decade after the trial, allowing her to witness such things as the Clinton cigar banging an intern, the dot-com bubble, Y2K, two George W. Bush elections, and all 10 seasons of Friends. But toughened mentally and physically by all she endured and driving the best rascal scooters McDonald money could buy, Stella probably did all right. She did, however, become a loyal Burger King customer.
Is that true?
Would you go back to McDonald's if they charge your chooch? However, Stella's story of corporate incompetent greed is not the story that Americans heard.
In Albuquerque, New Mexico, an elderly woman was severely burned when she spilled a cup of McDonald's coffee in her lap.
An 81-year-old woman has been awarded $2.9 million after she sued McDonald's, claiming their coffee was too hot.
Stella Liebeck spilled just 8 ounces of coffee, but she attracted a flood of attention. The jury's award set off a media frenzy and became a rallying cry for those who believed our legal system had run amok.
I think it's absurd.
But as her story cycled through newspaper headlines, talk show storylines, and late-night punchlines, one thing was lost: the facts.
This story is the most widely misunderstood story in America.
More from Reader's Digest, quote, although the original Albuquerque Journal article about the trial ran at 700 words, subsequent pickup and wire service articles were far shorter and left out important details. In the end, all that most people knew about the case came from the headlines and the late night talk shows.
Now she claims she broke her nose on the sneeze guard at the Sizzler, bending over looking at the chickpeas.
So, ooh, my coffee was too hot. It's coffee!
Republican lawmakers crafting the Contract with America seized the moment. They tapped into public outrage over frivolous lawsuits to promote the Common Sense Legal Reform Act. Liebeck's case became Exhibit A.
A lady goes through a fast food restaurant, puts coffee in her lap, burns her legs, and sues and gets a big settlement. That in and of itself is enough to tell you why we need to have tort reform.
She spilled hot coffee on her lap while sitting in her car and claimed it was too hot.
Every day we hear about another outrageous lawsuit.
Of course, the GOP chuckle-fucks got involved. Noted philanderer and shit-heeled hypocrite Newt Gingrich got the story and began beating the drum for tort reform, which is conservative speak for we got to protect our corporate masters at all cost. And the Stella Liebeck story began to transform into a national joke because, as I said earlier, all of us had spilled hot coffee on our taint at some point in time or another, and we didn't sue Dunkin' Donuts for $1 zillion. Hey, if Michael Vail had taken a blowtorch to my balls while muttering time to toast the testicles, you're goddamn right I'm going to sue him for $1 zillion. You guys don't know who Michael Vail is, do you? He's the guy that said,
time to make the donuts.
God, I am so fucking old. Again from Reader's Digest, which I gotta tell you, didn't see becoming a comprehensive source for a podcast. Quote, and Liebeck became the chum feeding the ensuing media frenzy. I've been thinking of quitting work here and suing big companies for a living instead. Suing has become a popular American pastime, and I'd like to get on some of that easy money, CBS News correspondent Andy Rooney said. During Man in the Street interviews for the documentary Hot Coffee, one woman said that Liebeck, people are greedy and want money. They'll do anything to get it. And a man said, a woman purchased the coffee and spilled it on herself. It wasn't like a McDonald's employee took the coffee and threw it on her, unquote. Tort reform became a hot button issue in the 1990s instead of things, you know, important things like, I don't know, the planet slowly boiling like coffee spilled on a crotch. While direct legislation on the federal level never quite took off, the states picked up that baton and ran with it until the courts turned down the heat on their coffee pots.
Really, Dave?
Yeah, okay, that joke was a bit of a reach. The GOP tried again and during the George W. years to pass it, but never really achieved their hoped-for goals. But the coffee propaganda campaign accomplished the dirty work of the capitalists. Juries were far less likely to render appropriate judgments in lawsuits against corporate malfeasance because they knew about that greedy bitch that smoked McDonald's because she didn't know how coffee worked. I'm paraphrasing, but not by much. All it took was a bad reporter on the nascent internet, and suddenly every Tom who had never burnt his dick with boiling coffee was a legal expert because he heard Jay Leno make a joke one time.
Why do you hate him so?
Because he was funny once, and then he got rich and famous and wasn't funny anymore. And I'm not funny, and I want my money.
Honestly, that might be the most relatable thing you've ever said.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
There is a positive side, I guess, to all of this because all the coffee places turned down the heat on their fucking coffee pots and made damn sure that you saw obvious information on every cup you got.
It's hot.
Hot coffee!
It might have even ushered in a revolution in coffee in this sad country. It might have made us all stop just for a second and ask, why am I drinking shitty coffee? And then promptly forgot that you asked that and go into a Starbucks and order some shitty coffee. burn ass bean bullshit. Starbucks coffee is shit. Yeah, I said it. I guess now we have at least a slightly better coffee options across this fair land. McDonald's has something they call McCafe. I don't know what the fuck that's about, because now I gotta stand behind some dipshit ordering a triple mocha latte half cap with a pump of caramel and mint and with a side of
Venezuelan beaver cheese.
And I'm drunk, and I just want a double cheeseburger and some goddamn McNuggets. And finally, I can't be sure if the case of the boiled beef curtains is directly responsible for people drinking their coffee over ice. But if it is, I fucking blame McDonald's for that shit too. That is it for the show this week. Many, many years ago, my friend Kat explained to me this case, using small words because I was very dumb at the time, that everything I thought I knew about this case was wrong. I mean, Kat was in law school at the time, and she went on to become a big-time accomplished lawyer doing big-time lawyer things, and I did this podcast. But, you know, she ended up marrying my best friend Eric, so in bad decisions, it's a draw. I'm kidding. I love you both. I love you both. So, speaking of calling it even, rate and review us, tell a friend about us, and, you know, that'll make us almost even for the free content that I just gave you. If you really want to balance the scale out, kick us a dollar at patreon.com/whatthehellpodcast. We need that money to pay our lawyer who bails me out of jail every weekend. Do all the things Jeremy tells you to do in the closing credits, otherwise he'll cut me off from the network supply of Cafe Bustelo that drives my creative process. And so for me, Dave.
No, thank you. I take it black. Like my man.
Let's go, producer.
I will, but Jim won't.
I think I will have another cup.
Jim never has a second cup of coffee at home.
Gavin! And all the fictional caffeine addicts on this show, we want to say,
coffee's for closers only.
And we'll see you all next week. Or tomato juice, you'll see. No potato juice, 'cause the planters down in Santos all say no, no, no. A politician's daughter was accused of drinking water and was fined a great big $50 bill. They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. What the Hell Were You Thinking? Stars Dave Bledsoe and features Gavin St. James and several fictional minions. The show is produced by Kimberly Steele and a part of the Seltzer Kings podcast network. You can find more information on the show on their website, whatthehellpodcast.com, or on Twitter at @thehell_podcast, or on Facebook as What the Hell Podcast. Thanks for listening.
I have no ending for this, so I take a small bow.
Oh! Putting up a satellite dish.
Seltzer Kings.
Podcasts.